Steps by Rusty Dog, read by Rusty Dog. The hub has been quiet for a while. Gwen has gone home. The computers are silenced. Most of the plants in the botany lab, some of which hum during the day, are on their night cycle. Others had their jars broken and will not be humming anymore. The dead silence in the hub feels similarly permanent. It's a good time to work. Yento sets his bucket in the entryway of the autopsy room and looks down the steps into the room. With its high ceiling and recessed floor, it usually feels spacious enough, but at times like this, the room can feel shallow, almost suffocating. He has brought a whole box of cleaning supplies, but knows he will end up using only the scrubbing brush most of the time. The vigorous motion the brush requires is satisfying. He lowers himself to his knees, lifts the bucket, and pours some water onto the smooth tile. The small pool spreads, dissolving part of the soiled surface beneath it and pulling a thread of bright red with it to its edge. Yento plunges the brush into the bucket, sets it to the tile, and begins to scrub. On the first step, Toshiko is lying on the floor of the autopsy room, propped against the steel and vinyl exam chair. Empty syringes litter the floor. Her eyes are blank, which makes Yento close his against the memory. But her slack face looks happy. He pours more water on the step and scrubs harder. On the second step, Toshiko is standing at her workstation, absorbed in her latest side project, fingers blurring as they move across the keyboard. Yento sets a cup of coffee down next to her, but she doesn't notice him, which is rare. Her upturned face is glowing blue and white in the light of the numbers flashing by on the monitor, and her mouth is slightly open in a smile of wonder, her eyes crinkled with satisfaction. Yento leaves her quietly. On the third step, Yento speaks to Owen about the monthly alert still running on the medical systems for Tommy's vitals. After the time shift incident, he presumes Tosh will be tender, and they should disable the alert before it goes off the next time. When they get into the system, they discover that someone has thought of it already. Later in the day, he notices that Owen has brought his lunch over to Tosh's desk and is chatting with her while she works. On the fourth step, there's a stubborn handprint. Yento sets his brush to it. For a moment, Toshiko is dragging herself down the steps, bracing and pulling with slick, bloody hands, but Yento, stubborn himself, redirects the thought. Instead, he is tucking the white body bag around Toshiko's clean, smooth arms while Jack strokes her face. They do not speak. Yento thinks of the generations of staff who have gone before. He wonders if any of them in future generations will ever grow old. He doesn't have high expectations for himself or Gwen. On the fifth step, Yento needs more water. He proceeds resolutely down to the tap in the autopsy room, walking on the inside edge of the soiled steps to avoid the dark, clouded water that has dripped down. Blood has gotten easier since Canary Wharf. Not easy, but familiarity breeds a cool head. On the sixth step, Tosh appears in the tourist information office with a packet of gourmet biscuits, saying shyly that she remembers he likes them. "Things are always so crazy around the hub," she says. She's worried he never thinks to treat himself. After Toshiko leaves, he wonders what she heard while wearing Mary's pendant. But he eats the biscuits, and they're a surprising balm to his tortured heart. He tries to remember the last time someone gave him anything. On the seventh step, Toshiko is running with a drawn handgun. Her stylish boots don't seem to impede her at all. She reaches the corner of a wall and waits for Yento to catch up, then nods for him to proceed around the corner. Her face is brave and determined. Back on the seventh step, Yento wonders if she ever saw herself that way when she looked in the mirror. On the bottom step, Yento hears Jack clearing his throat. He looks up to the observation rail to see the man standing above him with his arms crossed, sleeves rolled up, and those beautiful forearms. Yento clutches the scrubbing brush harder to clear his thoughts. Jack is speaking quietly with a tone of reprimand. "I told you, you've done enough. I'll get that." Yanto doesn't know what to say, so he fixes his gaze on the bucket of water and lets his face become a well-practiced mask. Go lie down, Yanto. You've been up for too long. Yanto shakes his head. Couldn't sleep anyway. Jack sighs, blowing out his cheeks and looking at the ceiling. Well, would you mind going out and getting us some fresh coffee, then? I know you could use some, and I'm afraid Captain John made quite a mess of the coffee cabinet. Yanto nods slowly and bends down to place the brush neatly beside the bucket. He rises and turns to look at the remaining job, the autopsy room floor. Its white tile still smeared with red-black footprints, and the dried pool of blood at the base of the exam table. There is Toshiko's body. And there it is, sliding into a cold vault. And there she is, smiling at him over her glasses. And there is Jack, cupping Yanto's face with a strong hand, kissing him insistently into the present. Yanto kisses back more eagerly than he expected. When they break apart, he nods to Jack, thanking him with his eyes. He treads carefully up the damp, clean steps and begins a mental list. Coffee. Sugar. A new mop head. Washing up liquid. Biscuits. The best biscuits in the shop. Tosh would approve.